First, beans are not the most glamorous of food choices to a lot of people. And if having beans for dinner or lunch doesn't sound exciting to you, you may not be alone. But our Food Friday guest wants to inspire us to get into the kitchen and find some fun in cooking beans, and he's going to give us some tips and recipes to help add some more wow factor. Joe Yonan is the food and dining editor at the Washington Post. He's the author of several cookbooks, including his latest, Cool Beans, the ultimate guide to the world's most versatile plant-based protein with 125 recipes. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Well, Joe, for people who aren't sold on beans yet, I know you are a big fan. Sell us. Why do you love beans?
So I think beans are really one of the most versatile things that you can have in your pantry, and we're all looking for that more than ever right now. You know, they're unique. They're the only food that the USDA classifies as both a vegetable and a protein. And I find it amazing that they can provide such nutrition and versatility while being shelf stable. I mean, what other food provides that much protein and fiber and can be used in that many dishes and can sit on your shelf and just be ready for you to cook whenever you want it?
And Joe, in your book, you don't steer away from the tough questions, including something people think, I think, when they think about eating beans, if they don't do it all the time. Joe, what about the gas?
Rob, I don't know what you're talking about. Do some people have a problem with gas and beans?
I've heard rumors, Joe.
You've heard, and maybe you've smelled, Rob. The childhood songs that we all sang, the rhymes about the magical fruit or the musical fruit, depending on, I think, maybe where you grew up, are there for a reason. I mean, beans contain oligosaccharides. It's a carbohydrate that our bodies don't digest as well as some other things. So what happens is when that gets into our gut, it causes flatulence. And there are a lot of other foods that cause it as well. But there are also a lot of things that you can do to help, especially if you're particularly sensitive. There's pressure cooking beans can really help. There's things that you can add to the beans, like kombu, which is a dried seaweed that I always use to cook beans, really helps. There's herbs like epazote in Mexican cooking, and ginger and cumin all can help. And certainly soaking beans can help reduce the gas-causing effects of beans if that's a problem. But I also think there's a lot of people who would say that the very thing that's happening in your gut is also feeding your gut biome. So the very thing that is causing the gas also is one of the things that makes beans really good for you. So maybe ultimately we might just try to get used to it.
And then dried beans versus canned, there's a place for both of them in your cooking, it sounds like.
Absolutely. In my book, most of the recipes call for cooked or canned beans. So you can cook a big pot of beans on the weekends like I always do and then use them in lots of ways, or you can use canned beans. There are recipes where I love for you to use dried beans. And if you haven't cooked beans from dried, I give you easy tips for doing it. It's really not very difficult, and I really want people to try it, because if you cook them right from dried, you end up with two really great things. Of course, the beans themselves, which can have better texture, and you can just have access to a lot of a larger variety of beans than you can get canned. But then you also get this incredible cooking liquid, which is really delicious, and you can drink it as a soup on its own. You can add it to sauces and stews. You can store the beans in it. They freeze really well, particularly in that liquid. So if all you've had are canned beans, I urge you to try cooking beans from dried. But at the same time, I love canned beans. They're a great, convenient product, and they're very well produced. And I think that they just make it that much faster for you to add beans to your diet. And I, of course, want that.
Talking to Joe Yonan, his new book is called Cool Beans, the ultimate guide to the world's most versatile plant-based protein with 125 recipes. You can join the Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite bean dish, a favorite way to eat or cook beans, or do you have a question for Joe? He probably has an answer. 800-642-1234. You shared a few recipes with us, Joe, and we've got them online at WPR.org/Food Friday. This one is really special to you, I understand. Lalo's Cacahuate beans with pico de gallo. Correct my pronunciation on this. Traveled to get this guy.
Yeah, so this is an incredible dish. I was in Mexico City on my honeymoon, and I was eating all sorts of beans all around. You know, it's a good place to do bean research. And there's a chef, Lalo Garcia, Eduardo Garcia, he goes by Lalo, his nickname. And he's known for his beans, and his beans, his bean reputation preceded him, I'll say. And we went, and we had this great conversation with him, and it turns out that he was using these really special beans that he talked about getting from this one region of Mexico, and he cooked them really carefully. And when we had them, they just really blew us away. I mean, they're simultaneously simple and really deeply complex at the same time. And it turns out that his secret really is that he cooks the beans fairly simply until they're tender, you know, fairly low heat. And then he makes a sofrito, which is that aromatic combination of, you know, garlic and tomatoes and chilies. And then he puts that in the beans after they're already tender, cranks up the heat, brings them to a boil, and then cooks them for another half an hour. And it really concentrates the broth and just adds all this incredible flavor to the beans. And then, yeah, there's a quick pico de gallo, which is just, you know, tomatoes, onions, chili, lime juice, cilantro, just a quick little salsa that you eat on top. And it turns out the cacahuate bean is the same bean as a cranberry bean or a borlotti bean. Cacahuate in Spanish means peanut, which is kind of what the bean looks like.
Yeah, let's talk about bean substitution here. If I want to make a particular recipe and I don't have cacahuate beans lying around, say, or whatever, how flexible can I be in my my bean selections?
So flexible. I mean, one of the really interesting things about beans to me is that they do have their unique qualities. You know, some are a little nuttier than others. Some are a little starchier. Some are a little creamier. Certainly, they look a little bit different, but you can substitute widely across beans for particular recipes. I give a lot of guidelines in the book if people are interested in doing that. So, for instance, this recipe uses these, in Spanish they're called cacahuate, but they're more familiar to Americans as cranberry beans or Italian Americans as borlotti beans. You can use those. This would be delicious with pinto beans or black beans, really a lot of different kinds of beans. And the same thing really goes for a lot of recipes. I mean, a chickpea is fairly unique, right? So a lot of things that you would make with chickpeas, it's certainly going to be different if you just added, you know, used a cannellini bean instead of a chickpea, but it's not going to be bad. It's still going to taste good.
Well, let's bring on a caller now at 800. Matthew is with us in Blue Mounds. Matthew, hello.
How are you guys today?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about, Matthew?
Well, my wife is allergic to eggs, and we discovered, several months ago about the wonderful juice called aquafaba that's in the canned beans. And we whip it up in egg whites, and it's a great substitute for eggs in pancakes and cake mixes.
Matthew, thanks. And that is something you talk about in your book, Joe. Talk about that that bean liquid as an egg substitute in our baking and elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, Matthew, because it's really magical if people have never done this or used it or seen it. But basically, a French pastry chef who's vegan many years ago was looking for a vegan substitute for eggs, and he was sort of noodling around, and he happened to have a can of chickpeas in front of him, and he realized that the liquid looked like it had a similar viscosity to egg whites, and so he thought, well, I wonder if it would beat up like egg whites, and so he just started whipping, and guess what happened? They actually beat up just like egg whites, and so I play around with them a lot of places in the book. I think aquafaba is just really kind of an incredible thing. I use it in a chocolate mousse recipe in the book, for instance. That's basically my adaptation of Julia Child's classic deep, dark chocolate mousse. And I barely changed anything. I just figured out how much aquafaba would work. And you melt the chocolate with the seasonings and you beat the aquafaba with a little cream of tartar, just the way you would with egg whites. It helps stabilize them. It beats up into stiff peaks. It gets all white and glossy. You add a little sugar to it. You fold it into the mousse and it sets just like mousse. You can make meringue with it, pavlova, all that kind of stuff. And it just adds this silky texture. I prefer chickpea liquid for this purpose because the chickpeas are so mildly flavored. So you don't really want your chocolate mousse to taste like beans, right? So the chickpea liquid seems to work the best. And I also prefer it from the can. Because while you can use the liquid from cooking chickpeas at home, you know, it needs to be a certain concentration to work. And also, any beans that I'm cooking at home, I like to season them. And you don't want your aquafaba typically to taste like garlic or bay leaf or anything like that either. So that's one of the things that I reach for the can for.
We're talking to Joe Yonan, the food and dining editor of The Washington Post. He's the author of several cookbooks. We're talking about his latest. It's called Cool Beans, the ultimate guide to the world's most versatile plant-based protein with 125 recipes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of cooking with beans? Do you have some favorite recipes or methods of cooking them? Do you have questions about cooking, maybe something you're going to do this weekend? Call 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find a few of Joe's recipes at wpr.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up a conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our Food Friday conversation with Joe Yonan. He's the food and dining editor at The Washington Post. He's the author of several cookbooks. His latest is Cool Beans, the ultimate guide to the world's most versatile plant-based protein. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite way to cook and serve beans? Do you have a question on how to spread them out into more things? He's got everything from salads to entrees to desserts to beverages in his book. Call in at 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Anne is with us in Stevens Point. Anne, hello.
Hello. We have found a great way to prepare beans. We simply can them in our pressure cooker by doing this. We take pint jars and you put in a half a cup of dried beans plus maybe a fifth a cup and a little bit of salt, maybe half a teaspoon. Fill it with boiling water, put on your canning lid, put all your jars in your canner, pressure cook them for at 10 pounds for about 70 minutes, and voila, you got 18 or so jars of beans right off the shelf, and we've been doing this. I just did it last week, and they're better than the store-bought canned beans, much cheaper, and One whack and you got it done. It's really great. It's so simple.
That's fantastic. Anne, that's planning ahead. Joe, what do you think?
Well, I think that Anne needs to be careful because she's going to get a lot of people emailing and calling her asking if she can mail them these home pressure canned beans. No, I've never done this myself, but I know people who have, and I am totally jealous. I don't have a pressure canner. But we actually had a writer for the Washington Post who writes about all manner of preserving write a piece about this very thing a couple of years ago. And I was jealous then, and I'm jealous now. Yeah.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And, Joe, I mean, this beans are a pretty cheap way to get a filling meal, aren't they?
Oh, I mean, Rob, can you think of anything cheaper, honestly, that gives you that kind of nutrition and protein? I mean, sometimes people complain about the price of these really beautiful heirloom beans, like the kinds that are sold by one of my favorite purveyors, which is this company Rancho Gordo out of California. And so their beans are about $5 a pound, which is, I don't know, three or four times the price of so-called commodity beans or really large-scale commercial beans that you would get in supermarkets. But even at $5 a pound, when you think about it, a pound of beans really is at least eight servings for $5. So what else would give you that kind of protein and nutrition and eight servings? If you were talking about chicken, you would need two chickens to feed eight people. And if it was a, you know, farm fresh, organic, pasture raised chicken, which would be the chicken equivalent of those Rancho Gordo beans, that would set you back, I don't know, $25, $30 for those two chickens at least. So, beans have long been associated with poverty and, people trying to make ends meet. And I think that might be one of the reasons why they haven't been as hip as they've gotten recently. But, you know, now that we're in this terrible, in the middle of this terrible pandemic, and we have, you know, stockpiled our pantries to try to, make sure that we've got good food to last us for a while, I think more and more people are realizing just how incredible beans can be.
Let's go back to our callers. Helene is with us in Lake Delton. Helene, hello.
Hi there, Rob and Joel. I had just recently read a review of this book by Joe's in a food page, in an article, in a newspaper. Mm-hmm. And he talked about cranberry beans, Borletti beans, and I know you've spoken about them, but where can I get them? That's what I needed to know.
Interesting. They may not be in stores everywhere outside of big cities. Do you see them getting more available, Joe, or do you have an online source you might be able to point someone toward?
I list a lot of online sources in my book. You know, like I said, I love Rancho Gordo for their beans, but there are other sources. There's a really good company based in the South called Camellia, which specializes in a lot of beans that are popular in Southern cooking. And there's a really great company out of New York called Galustians that imports a lot of beautiful beans. The cranberry / Borletti beans, I would say one thing to think about is you might actually have farmers near you that grow them. I wouldn't be surprised. But I would also look at if you have any access to Italian markets. The Borletti bean is really popular in Italian cooking, so you can often find them there. They're more and more available in stores. I also see them, another good source, and I know that they sell cranberry beans, is Bob's Red Mill, which is the really wonderful grain specialist company out of the Pacific Northwest that also sells some nice beans.
Thanks for that call. Hope that helps. We're talking to Joe Yonan. It's Food Friday. We're talking about his new cookbook, Cool Beans. Back to your calls now. Nancy is on the line in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I really like getting these packages of 12 or 14 different kinds of beans that come in the same package and cooking them into a wonderful, wonderful soup. And the flavor is greatly enhanced if you add a tomato product as well. But I have discovered that you cannot add the tomato product until the beans are at least half cooked, because somehow some kind of molecular situation is occurring that allow the beans not to fully cook or even half get cooked if you add the tomato product too soon. And I also greatly like cooking lentils with andouille-style sausage. These soups are... They make you feel as if you've died and gone to heaven.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy, for sharing that. Joe, have you run into that? Is that a thing if you add your...
Of course. Yeah, of course. If the cooking environment is too acidic, it slows down the softening of the beans. That's particularly true if your water is particularly hard. If you're using more, I found that if there used to sort of be the idea that you couldn't put any tiny bit of acidity into beans at the beginning, or you were really, in for delaying the beans a lot. I find that unless it's more than a couple tablespoons, two or three tablespoons, that's true. You can put a small amount in at the beginning and it's fine. But if you've got particularly hard water, it's particularly difficult. But you can reduce the acidity of the atmosphere by adding a little baking soda too, a little pinch of baking soda. So this isn't something that I'm saying you would do just so that you could add tomatoes. But if you are one of those people who have found that something like chickpeas, you know, never, ever, ever seem to get tender, which I've heard people tell me this, it usually is because your water is hard. And adding a little pinch of baking soda can really help.
Thanks, Nancy, for the call. In our last minute or so, Joe, do you have bean making plans for the weekend?
Oh, Rob, always. Always. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is really, you know, I cook a pot of beans pretty much every weekend, and then I store them in the fridge. And I use them in all sorts of different ways. So I'll make tacos one night with them. I'll make maybe veggie burgers with mushrooms one night. I'll, you know, certainly make a soup or a stew one night. Toward the end of the life of the beans, that's when I usually start pureeing them and making dips, that kind of thing. But, yeah, every weekend is a bean weekend, Rob.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
That's Joe Yonan. He's the food and dining editor at the Washington Post. Several cookbooks. We've been talking about his new one. It's called Cool Beans, the ultimate guide to the world's most versatile plant-based protein with 125 recipes. We've got a few recipes he shared with us there, including a mushroom kidney bean burger. He just mentioned those bean burgers. You can find that on there. Also a soup and a chocolate red bean and rose brownie recipe. Again, WPR.org/Food Friday is the place to find those recipes and many more.